This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. 1 month ago, 17 people were killed at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. What immediately followed was a familiar and grim American script, a debate about assault weapons and constitutional rights and hardening schools and thoughts and prayers for victims.
It only happens here not because of coincidence, not because of bad luck, but as a consequence of our inaction.
I've already announced, and I hope they will pass it. I really think they will, and they should. A concept called a gun violence restraining order.
The familiar backdrop to a familiar form of tragedy was on repeat. And then something different happened.
All these people should be at home grieving. But instead, we are up here, standing together, because if all our government and president can do is send thoughts and prayers, then it's time for victims to be the change that we need to see.
Students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School forced themselves into the debate. They appeared on cable news, they took over town halls, and they started to change the script of American mass shootings.
No more silence and gun violence! Enough is enough! Enough is enough!
Well, today, across the country, tens of thousands of students at hundreds of schools are walking out, demonstrating, determined, they say, to upend the pattern of violence and hand-wringing and inaction.
My class, a senior class, was born in 1999 and 2000. Columbine happened in 1999. So we've lived this through our entire upbringing, but we've never really had a voice in the actual issue. My name is Parker Butler, and I'm a senior at Liberty High School in Frisco, Texas.
This is the first time that America can see firsthand what those kids had to go through, and that's why this time is going to be different.
My name is Frankie Gaynor. I'm a senior at Coral Glades High School in Coral Springs, Florida.
I'm Allison Guarini, and I'm a senior at Elyria High School in Ohio. Honestly, I think that my classmates and I just decided that enough is enough.
Enough is enough has become a slogan of this burgeoning student protest movement. I talked with Allison and Frankie and Parker.
We are really focused on the gun issue. We have met with our administration. We've talked about school safety, and they have taken our requests seriously. But what we want to do is to try to make this more of something that is about getting involved in democracy, getting involved in politics, to try to create that change legislatively, and try to affect this change so that we don't have these kinds of shootings anymore, or at least so that there are less of these kinds of shootings.
Allison, what about you at your school? Have you seen sort of a singular focus on guns, or are people more focused on sort of general school safety? As you organize and talk to your classmates and decide what your message is, what are people saying?
Our main message for this event is to show how we stand in support with Parkland. We're paying tribute to the victims and to everyone from all school shootings that have happened. So all throughout history, Columbine, Sandy Hook, Virginia Tech, everything. This event is just to show our support and about making schools safer all over the country.
Now, Allison, you go to a school that has been in a lockdown situation before, as I understand it, right? You've been through a bomb threat, and that sort of suggests to me that maybe you have a personal sense of what it means to fear for your life, or at least to question what's going on when a school goes into a security lockdown.
Yes, last year, towards the end of the year, my school went into lockdown. We had a bomb threat, but at the time, we didn't know what was happening. The principals came on and said, hey, don't switch classes yet. And we were all kind of confused on what was happening. We didn't have any details, and we were locked in our rooms for the next 2 hours or so. Nobody had any details. Everyone was trying to text each other. My room didn't have any service, so it was a lot of fear of having no idea what was going on, and you were hearing a bunch of different stories from a bunch of different people, and it's nothing compared to what shooting victims and Stoneman has been through and anything, but it's enough to have that fear and being so scared of what's going on and not knowing what's happening. And when we finally got out, nothing happened, thankfully, but when we finally got out and you see the news trucks all over and the parents crying and reaching and trying to find their children, being involved in that type of panic really hits close to home.
Well, Frankie, what about you? What's the plan for the walkouts at Coral Glades? Again, you're so close, 8 minutes away from Stoneman Douglas High School. You're right there where this tragedy happened. So it's going to get coverage when you guys walk out. What's the plan?
Our plan is to walk out at 10 a.m. and to sit in the hallways holding hands for 17 minutes of silence, just to continue to show solidarity. It's still a walkout, but it's still not the same chaotic scene as 2,000 people walking to the front of the school and standing there. So it's still our way of showing that we stand with them by walking out and sitting in.
Now, Parker, you go to school, let's face it, in a red state, a pretty pro-gun state, a pretty conservative state there in Texas. Not everybody agrees on all these issues, that's for sure. But a big part of this movement and a big part of the reaction to Parkland, of course, is about guns. And I wonder if you've heard from other students who don't agree with your stance here or might be planning some kind of actions of their own.
Texas, yeah, as you said, it's sort of ground zero for sort of this pro-NRA, what they would call pro-gun state. It's really common to see sort of pro-gun people actively, you know, engaged in this issue. And yes, I have encountered lots of people who have been either uneasy or just flat out disagree with what we're saying. In fact, there were a couple of students who were saying that they wanted to form a pro-NRA walkout during the same time as our walkout.
Is there a real open kind of honest debate going on? Is it part of class or teachers involved? Are you guys exchanging ideas for real in a way that you think is constructive?
There has been a lot of constructive debate. Certainly, it comes with talking about politics. There is obviously some partisanship where people don't actually want to have an honest discussion, and then they try to frame the other side as, you know, taking away the Second Amendment or whatever. But for the most part, I think I've talked with a lot of students. Several classes have sort of embedded what has happened in Parkland within their curriculum. People really do care about this issue because we all see it. We all know it could very well be us. So we're not blind to that fact. And we want to have an honest discussion to that. And I think I've had a lot of discussions with people in my own classes, people who maybe they don't agree entirely, maybe they're more moderate on the issue. But what I always tell them is that, like, okay, you can have that opinion, and I perfectly hear that. But the problem is that we aren't doing anything at all. So we can disagree on what specific regulations there should be, etc. But Congress doesn't even do anything after these shootings. They are so blind to this fact. They are so controlled by the National Rifle Association that they can't even do any common sense measure. So the debate is not whether which measure should we implement. The debate is more about what should we do? Can we do even one thing to try to prevent these shootings from occurring?
Well, Parker, talk about that a little bit more, how you think this could become a student-led movement. Look, where so many other people, at least who are on your side of the gun debate, have failed. This debate, as you know, has raged for decades in Washington and has basically gotten nowhere in Congress or really anywhere else. What can students accomplish here that nobody else has?
This year, 2018, will be the first year I'll be able to vote. It'll be the first year a lot of people will be able to vote this November. I think what you're going to see is that it's going to change because it's inevitable, because we are getting older, because we are going to have more of a voice in our institutions and in civic life, because simply that's how it works when a generation comes of age.
So I want to talk about success and sustainability in this movement, because guys, let's face it, we live in a pretty episodic kind of society, especially with social media. Something's hot for a minute or for a day, and then it kind of goes away. Now, you guys have been around for longer than a day. That's true. How are you going to prevent your protest just kind of becoming part of the background noise and then lawmakers and powerful people sort of just move on because they don't feel the heat? Have you talked about sort of end goals and how to be successful here? Allison, you go first.
We had so many students that wanted to be involved in the walkout and in planning this activity that we've created a club, Students Stand Up, which will deal with social issues throughout the year. So it'll forever be an ongoing thing. We're focusing on supporting Parkland right now, but in the long run, we'll help seniors become voters, helping contact officials, legislators, whatever any student activist feels they need or want to do, they have the support.
So, Frankie, I can't imagine that you're very interested in being one and done here with this walkout. I have a strong sense that you care about reaching results. So what's the plan?
As of right now, the plan is just to keep it in the news cycle and just to not let it be a passing memory, because I agree with what you said, that a lot of society with social media, it makes a lot of the things that happen kind of pass over almost immediately after the news cycle is over. So our plan is to, well, we already have March for Our Lives on March 24th. That's going to carry our movement, and I'm assuming it's going to be an annual thing, and I don't see people letting anyone forget the name Stoneman Douglas. I don't imagine anyone because I really truly believe that never again means never again, and that this is going to be the last mass school shooting, because it absolutely has to be, because I don't know how many more. And we've already seen some legislative progress, especially in Florida, where governor signed into effect that there will have to be a 3-day waiting period for certain weapons, and raise the minimum age to purchase an assault rifle from 18 to 21. So we already have been making legislative strides, and that's just further proves to me that we're actually going to make a difference, and that our end goal, which is to just have common sense gun laws, is going to come to fruition.
Well, how much are your fellow students talking about voting, talking about getting the chance to vote, even maybe having voter registration as a big part of senior year or even in school? Parker, is it a big discussion there in Frisco?
I think it's becoming certainly a larger thing. As Frankie said, I think we want to apply that model that Florida has taken with regards to producing change, even in a state vastly controlled by Republicans, and applying that to Texas. We have one of the most pro-NRA senators, Ted Cruz, as well as John Cornyn. Our state legislators dominated by Republicans, governor, etc. We want to apply that change. We can already see Texas is trending to become more of a blue state, or at least a purple state. And so I think we're going to walk out of school. We're going to register people to vote. We're going to add people to an email list and a phone number list. And we're going to get people involved in this issue, because I think what this really is about is that there's a lot of students who they care about this issue, but they don't know where to go from here. And so what we want to do is give students the resources and the means by which they can get involved on the political level in ways that most students, let's face it, they don't know what it takes to, you know, volunteer for a campaign or to register other people to vote. They don't know these things. And so what we want to do is try to use that energy, you know, people caring about this issue, and to try to make that into a more robust thing. And I think we are starting to see that in Frisco. We're starting to see that in Texas. We saw the primaries here in Texas just a couple of weeks ago had record turnout. You know, so it is starting to happen. But what we want to do is to try to, you know, make that happen at an even faster rate.
Allison, what about the swing state of Ohio? Voting's a big deal in Ohio. It should be everywhere, but everyone really cares about Ohio and how people vote. Are kids talking about voting there?
Yeah, we have a lot of students interested in voting. This upcoming year, we've had hundreds, probably. My school is 2,000 people. We've had hundreds come up to us and ask us how we can get involved and how we can register. And if they're not 18 yet, when can they vote? And we have a lot of that going on, which is a very good sign.
Allison Guarini at Elyria High School in Ohio. Allison, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Parker Butler, senior at Liberty High School in Frisco, Texas. Parker, thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Frankie Gaynor at Coral Glades High School, just up the road from Stoneman Douglas High in Florida. Frankie, thanks to you as well.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.